PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Showtime, boys, is what it's all about. Forum for the people. Let's go over the plan real quick, okay?
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're it now, now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso.
Yeah, yeah. Episode 285 of Cinema Crespo Diso begins now. How's it, guy? How's it good? Is it...
When? Right now?
Oof, that gorilla
just kicked
in. When?
Just then.
Just now.
It just happened.
But, and we passed it,
you
though.
Missed it.
So you missed it, guys. You missed the Gorilla Glue incident. The great Gorilla Glue incident of 2018? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I am Chris Crespo. We are hanging out in the Crespediso studio. I have your threat update. Current threat level is olive.
Sounds delicious.
Current threat level is olive.
Black or green?
Green.
Okay.
Your co-workers are far too obvious. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Drew Sikogren hanging out with us. Drew Sikogren.
You're pretty obvious. I mean, you're wearing a PFT Media shirt right now.
I am being pretty obvious.
Pretty
right
obvious.
Now. I'm being pretty straightforward about what my intentions are with life and that me. Cinema Crespo Diso.
Yes.
Not Cinema Uso Diso.
No.
Not Cinema Uso Diso.
Crespo Diso.
God damn it.
Yes. You are the god here, Chris.
Whoa. Oh my goodness.
It's your creation.
I guess that's true. Yeah. I could,
you're the creator.
I could throw it all in a river and drown it.
Yep, if you want
get
to.
Get rid of it if I wanted to. Because I abhor my own. Is that how that worked?
Yes.
God, what a petulant dude. ladies and gentlemen, we have a first time guest from the second round's Florida Edition podcast. We've had Eddie on, we've had Tommy on, and now the anchor, the whole thing, bringing it together, the glue of the show, Ashley Stashbox is here.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, Ashley?
I'm doing great.
Nice to see you. You were on the Simon Time Trivia show a few months ago.
I had so much fun.
That was a great time.
I did okay.
You did.
I did all right.
Oh, we've had some clunkers. We've had some real, where is it? On that show.
I do surprisingly well on that show for knowing... close to nothing.
You would think so, Drew, but you're a smart guy. Yeah. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah, no.
Come on, you're my trivia partner when I'm not hosting it.
Of sorts.
I'm like, come on, Drew.
Sometimes.
I need your brains. Give me them brains.
I've only got like 2/3 of a brain to give. the rest of it is just fizzles and
slim
pops.
Pickings.
Yeah, how does that math work? Yeah. 2/3 of a brain that's working at 10%.
Exactly,
have you taken that Lucy drug yet?
Uh-huh.
I love how when that movie came out, scientists were like, oh, we just discovered that 10% thing is bullshit.
Yeah.
There's no percentage of brain usage. And they're like, no.
No. If you use 100%, you can like alter reality and yourself.
And turn into a thumb drive.
Yes.
Remember when she turned into a thumb drive?
Yes.
Did you ever see that movie,
Lucy? And then went everywhere.
And then she went everywhere.
Yeah.
But nowhere.
And the thumb drive was like
thumb drive.
Space.
It was space, but it was.
I didn't see it, but so the Who You Got challenge on our show.
Uh-huh.
One of our hosts, Uncanny Mike, he has Lucy on his bracket, and
ooh,
it started this whole war between the guys because is she a god?
Mm.
Is she defeatable? And that's one of the rules. Like, they have to be defeatable. They can't be a god.
Interesting.
And,
well, no, I don't know if she's like god, but she's a sentient on a level.
That's what they were saying.
It all depends on
I can see how that would be a huge argument.
It depends on what your definition of god is.
Where did they... Do you want to spoil what they're going to come out on? Or are you going to make our listeners go and find...
She's actually going to be in the conference.
Whoa, Lucy. Yay. This one's for Lucy.
Should have been like Lucille Ball, I think.
Lucy, the comedy stylings of Desi Arnaz. She was like taking a drug, right? That's what made her change. But then at the end, she didn't have to take the drug anymore.
Well, because too much of it seeped into her body already. Because it was one of the, she was a mule, remember?
Right, she was a mule, and then it was killing her.
Yeah,
but then
at the same time.
That is weird.
So it was like Lady Limitless?
So, yes.
Yeah, to like the nth level.
But with more physical. Okay. Yeah.
More like with an X-Men.
Yes, kinda. Precisely. Okay. Yes.
She was literally pulling the strings of reality, Chris.
She was. She was, and she was like opening them up like it was code, like computer code. It was simultaneously like fun and interesting and dumb and so like ugh.
That seemed to be the consensus from everyone that saw it. Wasn't that great?
It's an interesting movie.
But she's nice to look at.
Oh so well, yeah, sure.
She's got that,
and it works great in the. We've talked about this before, the ScarJo trilogy, in which so it starts with Lucy, in which she's a drug mule who then this drug turns her into this sentient being. Yes. So at the end, she's like a computer thing, and she disappears. Right? Yeah. No, she becomes like a computer program. Yeah. Right? That becomes her. Where now she's the voice of a OS, an AI OS system, operating system. Correct. Falls in love with Joaquin Phoenix. Uh-huh.
And then that movie. Yeah.
And then at the end of that movie, her and the other OSs are all communicating. They've all advanced to the point like, oh, we're leaving Earth now. And they all disappear and go off, ostensibly into outer space.
Yeah.
The trilogy ends with Under Her Skin, where she comes back as an alien, comes back to Earth.
Now she's really confused about everything.
So far advanced that she forgot about humanity, comes back to take over humans as fuel, and then she rediscovers her humanity, which screws her up. And then the irony of the whole thing is that she gets raped and murdered by a human at the end.
Yeah. This sounds like a testament in Scientology that you just wrote.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, it kind of is. Like, yeah.
Wow.
This accidental ScarJo trilogy is a lot of fun.
Oh, now we have to throw Ghost in the Shell in there somewhere too.
Unfortunately, I guess we do.
God, that's a bad, just bad movie.
Yeah, we'll just ignore that one. That just watch the anime. It was much, much better. Man, how did we get off of that? That was our first episode of Chris and Drew talk about the ScarJo trilogy with guests. Thank you, Stashbox, for being our guest on that one. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Alright, well, let's get started now with the old Cinema Crespedista, which means we will do the streaming pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespedito streaming.
That's right, we do this every week, the Cinema Crespedito streaming pick of the week. Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, so much to watch, so little time. We're helping you cut down, save time, skip all the flipping through channels, and just watch what we tell you to watch right now. Ashley, go ahead and let everyone know what is the pick of the week.
The pick of the week is Executive Decision on Hulu. You are cackling like a witch. What is so great about this?
This is a ridiculous 90s action movie.
So silly.
It's Die Hard on an airplane.
Yeah, literally. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That is.
But with Kurt Russell. But Kurt Russell isn't playing a... He's not playing a badass, though. He's not Snake Plissken. He's like a...
He's like a straight man.
He is. He's like an agent. He works for the government, but he works in offices and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But then so him and an airplane gets hijacked.
It's so great. It starts off with Steven Seagal in the movie. He's like the head of this elite SEAL team. He's like, we're going in. And within 5 seconds, he's fucking dead. And so is all the rest of the SEALs.
Yeah, not 5 seconds, but within the first 10 minutes. Yes, he does. It was a big deal. They made a big deal at the time. I remember this. So Steven Seagal lost some weight because at that time he was already battling weight issues. Oh. He lost some weight.
He was in all the trailers.
It was a chance for him to like, we're giving you another big role in a big movie. But he went into it knowing that then it was going to be shocking to the audiences that the biggest action star of this action movie was going to get taken out like in like a sacrificial way.
Where do you go from there?
Exactly. Oh. You go from John Leguizamo, Kurt Russell, and the rest of this team sneaking around on an airplane while it's hijacked in the air, and they're trying to save the people. I think there's... Is this one with Halle Berry as
as the flight attendant.
As a flight attendant who's like working with Kurt Russell to... Man, it's a great cast. And
adorable. I might have to check this out now.
It is a fun, cool movie.
It's so silly.
And Leguizamo really, really enjoys the chance of being like...
A badass.
I gotta be a badass. Yeah, exactly.
Is this post or pre-Tu Wong Fu?
I'm gonna say 2 years before.
Oh, okay.
When was Tu Wong Fu?
So I was like, if it's post, then of course.
I think it's pre Wong Fu.
This was 96.
It could be the same year.
Really?
It could be. It's like right around the same time period.
My mother let me rent that movie all the time.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I had no idea what was going on.
You just know it's a fun movie.
I just knew that everybody had fun outfits, and mm-hmm. I just thought it was the best.
And the cosplay love is born with...
It really started,
with
yeah.
a very beautiful Patrick Swayze.
He really was kind
God,
of...
God damn that Patrick Swayze.
Statuesque.
But then you put him in Roadhouse, and he's like, this handsome man is beating everyone up.
My phone hates me.
Whoa, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, our internet's back.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yay! The internet's back! That's the sound the internet makes when it turns on, normally. Too Wong Fu, that's good stuff. Yeah, you should watch that as a double feature with this, actually. Oh. John Leguizamo double feature. Too Wong Fu.
Oh, Too Wong Fu is 95, so this is a year after.
Ha ha! It's Host!
Yeah!
Yeah, there you go.
That's why he's so manly.
Isn't that so wild? So it's Too Wong Fu, the very next year, executive decision. He's like, we're gonna go both.
Casting saw that, and they were like, you know what? We need him in an action movie ASAP.
And you know what happened? It was probably like, he was in production, like, the dailies are coming back. You guys see how great Leguizamo is? We gotta get him in our movie. That's all that used to happen back in the day.
As Cha-Cha?
Yeah. That's fantastic. Executive Decision is a fun action movie from the 90s. Absurd. They make fun of Kurt Russell being... He gets pulled from a dinner party. So the whole time he's in like a tuxedo with like dress shoes and stuff, and they're making fun of him. Like, this is our guy. This is the dude that's going to help us. It's a good times at the movies with Executive Decision. Also, it's... 90s, even though it's pre-9/11, it still has that nice, fun run of anti-brown racism in terms of, like, all the brown people are hijacking
an
us
airplane.
For their nefarious reasons.
Yeah. Hijacking an airplane.
Yeah, because it's an attack on democracy, and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
Never forget the racism.
That's key in 90s.
It really is.
It's the backbone of so much American
really
art.
Yeah.
You can enjoy some of it while, you know, pushing some of it down on the floor where it deserves to be. Goddamn racism. But Kurt Russell, dog. I love Kurt Russell. I think he's a libertarian, so... But just be Snake Plissken and then we're happy.
I mean, he's on the left. He's just so far to the left.
No, he's... No, that's... to the right.
Who's his wife?
Goldie Hawn.
Once he get... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, what, and I don't think they're married either. I think they're just like life partners.
Once you get to the extreme of either side, you're pretty much on the same side.
Nah, that's the horseshoe theory. Nah, I don't buy the horseshoe theory. Yeah, they've been life partners, and then apparently the whole thing was, they've had the deal. They've been, like, one of the more famous couples to have the deal, in which he can, like...
Do whatever
he wants, sleep with whoever, but just, like, he can't bring it home, can't embarrass her publicly, etc. If he can keep that on the down low as much as possible, then, you know, and then they're not married, so... And it seemed to work. He did get kind of busted by, like, tabloids in the 2000s, and then they split up for a minute, but I think they're back together and lovey-dovey and all that. Goldie Hawn, well, and their kids are Kate Hudson and Wyatt Russell. Have you seen Wyatt Russell?
Looks just like his dad.
I have seen him. He's kind of a babe.
Yeah.
I was holy crap.
He's half Kurt Russell, half Goldie Hawn, and it's like, whoa, and it's like the better halves of both.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's taller than his dad.
Taller than his dad. He's got the blonde looks of his mom, but he also kind of looks like his dad.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then he's got the charm of both. God damn it.
So
asshole.
Unfair.
It
so
is unfair. You just get born into this shit, man. I'm looking forward to the next Wyatt Russell. If they ever do, like, a Escape from Cleveland or something.
They really...
Just go ahead and make it with Wyatt Russell.
I want it so bad, Chris.
You kept talking about it. You thought you could get out of Cleveland.
What happened to Cleveland?
Cleveland must have been crazy. And how did it's in the middle. How did they make that a prison anyway?
Exactly.
Trump will show us something. So, Executive Decision, fantastic movie. Thank you so much, Ashley, for the great pick.
You're welcome.
And Drew Cogburn, let's go ahead and start talking about them dollar bills. Dollar bills, y'all. Talking about all that money falling from the sky for all these movies. Drew Cogburn, what's number five?
Deadpool 2. Made $5.2 million.
Nice.
Totally $304 million.
$304 million, it did. It passed that $300 million mark. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's hard for an R-rated movie.
Another
to make $300 million.
$404 million total, $707 million worldwide.
I want to say there are... $707 million? Nice. I want to say there are maybe, when it comes to just American box office, maybe there has to be less than 10 movies that made more than $300 million that are R-rated. You know what I mean? The highest grossing one still being Passion of the Christ. There's even a joke in Deadpool 2 about Passion of the Christ.
He's like, we're not going to do it.
Still making more money than the first Deadpool.
He's like, we're not going to do it.
And Deadpool 2 is not going to do it either. You know, it could be Passion of the Christ. Passion of the Christ 2.
Oh, Dose. Yeah. The Passioning.
The Passioning. The Returning. The Returning of the Passion. Although that one, inherently the story is far less graphic in nature. Yeah. It could easily be PG-13.
I'm sure he could find a way to make it super bloody.
He could throw a torture scene in there too. Yeah. Gibson loves his torture scenes.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It is good stuff. You know, another one where you gotta like push. What a monster of a man. But yeah. God, Lethal Weapon is... He's Martin Riggs. He's
a combination of Lethal Weapon and Passion of the Christ.
Ooh.
It's called Braveheart.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. He's even sacrificed at the end.
Jesus. Yeah. Jesus leads. Brendan Gleeson is his partner. Yeah. He's like, I'm too old. I'm too old for this shit. And you realize he's shitting.
He's like,
I'm too old. Yeah. You didn't know this is the podcast that we're brave enough to talk about bowel movements.
Yeah.
No other podcast will do that. Nope. It's very rare in podcasting.
Poop jokes.
Yes. Yeah. Poop jokes are very
two dudes telling poop jokes.
Hey, second half when we get to the dick jokes, beware.
Sweet.
We're the only ones that do it.
Yeah. Perfect.
Deadpool 2. Did you see this one?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't.
That's why it's not going to be Passion of the Christ, because people want to see it. But you know what? I'll be honest. When it came out, obviously we saw it opening weekend because I'm OCD about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But also, it's like I feel like the cultural obligation with the show. But I don't feel like out there was the same furor to like I have to see this movie that I felt with other movies. It wasn't the same. Everyone was super. People wanted to see it, but they weren't pumped about it. You know, it was weird. Maybe it was the marketing. Or...
I don't know.
I was for the first movie. Right. I was stoked to see it.
I feel like there was much more feeling of that than for the second one.
And then I went out and I bought the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, old times.
Yeah.
And I still have it. And it's probably one of my favorite movies to watch. But when the second one was coming out, I don't know. I think I was still riding the adrenaline of Avengers.
That's possible,
and
too.
And I just wasn't ready yet for something to enter my life.
There's already... Black Panther, Avengers, and then Deadpool 2 comes out right on top of all of that.
It was a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
In like 3 months.
And then we got Ant-Man in the, not this week, but next week.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Which is crazy. I thought that was coming out in like November.
Nope.
They're like, no, this is coming out two months after. What are they thinking?
They're oversaturating the market?
Seriously. Seriously, though.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel wants your life.
They do.
They just want to own your Friday nights, your Saturday nights.
Man,
watch us on TV, watch us on streaming services,
DC's
watch
like,
us in the movies.
Aquaman's coming.
Yeah, DC is like, hell, we got this wet muscle, man.
Just wait. It's going to be good.
Look, we got Jason Momoa. We dumped the water on him.
Yeah, but none of their... it's weird. Like, DC's trying to do that. But, I mean, like, probably the best comic book movies ever made have been DC properties.
Yeah,
between
my
Watchmen and the
Superman's
Dark Knight franchise
and the Batmans, I love Watchmen, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even 300, that's
DC.
That's a DC property. Yeah, so DC. You know, all these movies that have
Fever Vendetta's
pushed all these boundaries.
Wasn't those both Zack Snyder too?
Snyder was 300, and
he directed Watchmen. Yeah,
and
Watchmen as well.
Yeah, yeah, and then Fever Vendetta is produced by the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Directed by James McTeague, who was just their like assistant director on the Matrix movies. No, he's someone who worked with the Wachowskis as an assistant, and that was like his first movie to make by himself. And then since then, he's been like, boom, boom, boom. Well, Deadpool 2 is a fun movie. Definitely, if you like the first one, for sure you'll like the second one. It's full of surprises and funny jokes and all that breaking the fourth wall humor that Deadpool is known for. I think it's really good. It's good stuff. What's number four?
Tag.
You're it.
Made $8.2 million. Total $30.
$30 million for Tag?
So far. Two weeks, $30 million.
All right.
That's pretty good.
What's the budget, though?
It's 28.
See, I was going to say, it's kind of a big cast.
Yeah.
I could see that costing a bit of money.
A little bit.
Apparently, there's like a whole, one of the characters has cancer in this movie, and another one has like, is going through some sort of grief or something, so there's this whole like, sadness thing going on there as well, which is like a, I don't know.
Wasn't that why they're playing the tag? That's what I gathered from the
trailer. I think so. Well, like, Tag is there to keep them together, make them friends. And we're adults, but like, let's not forget that we're youthful inside as well.
What if it was like Red Rover?
That'd be a really... You need a big group of people to play that.
I can't wait for the red light, green light movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Mother May I.
Yeah. Oh. Heads down, thumbs up. Man, that's going to be an epic trilogy. Heads down, seven up. Heads down, thumbs up.
What a nail biter of a game that would, or movie that would be, right?
Just a lot of people like trying to peek at shoes from under their
I'm
arms.
I'm so glad I wasn't the only one that cheated that
Everyone
way.
Cheated.
Everybody, yeah.
That's when you learn how to cheat. Yeah. Life skills are in school.
I used to put my hair over my eyes. Like, I'm not looking. I'm totally
At a certain point in time.
Like, I know whose jeans those are.
I just wouldn't put my head down. And you'd be surprised how everybody just assumes that everybody's head's down.
Oh, shit.
And I'm just sitting there just...
watching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just like, everybody else's head's down. And you're the only one just chilling.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I used to do when I was in church and everyone was praying. And then I'll look around and say, who's not praying? And then I'll be like, oh, someone over there. And then they look around and look at me and be like oh, shit. And then we both look down real quick. No, I'm praying. You're praying.
They look at you and smile.
No, God,
that guilt.
God didn't catch that. God didn't see. He's too busy looking at all the other people praying.
He sees everything.
No, he missed that one. You can trick a God.
That's not...
You can trick
he's
him.
He's not Santa Claus.
Yes, you can trick him. Like, Chris? You can have anal sex and you're still a virgin. That's what the Christian kids do that.
Chris.
They tricked God. God, we found a loophole,
those girls
God.
Went to my high school, too.
There Chris, we go.
She knows. Chris, yeah, if you trick God, then he's no longer God.
No.
because he's, therefore, trickable and... No
he shouldn't
God.
Be watching that anyway.
Yeah, what's he doing watching
this? Get out of here,
he's being
God.
A dirty old man in the sky.
Watching me.
He's probably just... I guarantee you... if he makes stool. He's probably exactly just sitting up there holding his dick watching you make stool, Chris.
Holding his dick.
Yep.
God damn it. God, why are you doing this to us again? Why did you create this for your...
Number three this week.
It all falls on the simulation. It's like someone made... we're living in Leisure Suit Larry 2029.
Oh, man. You know, actually... Oddly enough, a new edition of Leisure Suit Larry is coming out, I think, next year.
There you go. See? They're going to keep making those things.
I can't believe it's
so which game are we in right now?
I don't know.
Do you believe in simulation theory, that we're inside of a video game?
Sometimes.
Elon Musk believes that. He's trying to fund science to get us out.
He's a crazy asshole. He really is. Did you hear about did you hear about the memo he put out about the mole?
There's a mole?
He thinks there's a mole.
In Tesla?
Oh. He's going crazy, dude.
Really? Tesla's new
You should look up Tesla mole, and he went on a Twitter rant.
Crazy. That's interesting because he's also the type of guy who put all his patents out for free for everyone to just like go through and do whatever they want with them.
Yeah.
Mo money, mo problem.
No, there's a mole.
Number three this week.
Number three. Oh yeah. This reminded me of
Ocean's 8. $11.6 million. Total of 100.3,
that's okay. I hope they make enough money to justify an Ocean's 9 and 10. Because while this one was okay, I'm still down for another ride. I really like the cast. I like everyone else.
I like the cast, too. I just want Soderbergh back.
Maybe as a more hands-on approach, even more hands-on?
Straight-up
directing? Cause
can he just make the movie, please? Because all the ones that he doesn't make are not very good.
He was the director of photography, and he probably edited it. He's probably the editor. He just didn't direct it.
It just didn't work.
This one had a different vibe, for sure.
It was. It was trying to be the same, but a little different.
It was like Ocean's Light.
It was Ocean's Light. Which is, okay, so here's another thing. A lot of people are saying, why make...
Ocean's.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Ocean's 11 was just on TV yesterday. I watched the whole fucking thing. Why I was enthralled.
Why not have the same cast and then just give them their own movie that's not encumbered with the whole Ocean's... thing anyway, you know, and obviously the reason is money, right? Yeah. They're trying to tap into a fan base, a market awareness type of deal. But I mean, if you're going to put together such a cast like that, but then the thing is, if you do put together a cast like that and you give them a heist movie, but then you don't make it Ocean's, everyone's talking about, what is this, Ocean's thing? Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I feel like you can't win when you try to do this thing anyway. Just make a good movie. At the end of the day, just make a good movie no matter what it's labeled.
Yeah.
It definitely for sure could have been a better movie. I wanted it to be better, but I still like. There's still things about it that I enjoy. But then again, I can always find things I enjoy and even some of the worst stuff. We'll talk about more about that.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Incredibles 2. Made another $80 million. Total of $350 domestic.
The Unthinkables. $350 domestic already?
The Unthinkables.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. It's going to make over $400, maybe $450. I don't know if it could make $500, though. Looking to be the number one animated movie of all time, though. Best thing, Finding Dory. It beat the opening weekend of the Shrek movies for the longest time. Like Shrek 3, I think, was the biggest opening weekend for animated. So Incredibles 2.
God, Because, yeah, we're all adults. We've been waiting for this movie.
For 14 have years.
Have we? So long.
Have you been waiting for this movie?
The thing is, I've been waiting for so long, I kind of forgot about it. I was like, yeah, now I'm past it.
I don't think I was ever waiting for the movie.
You were never waiting
for it? See, if I'm being honest, that was my first cosplay was Violet. And I loved that movie.
Violet's awesome. Violet's a fun character. Did you see the second one?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I went in with very high expectations. And then I left needing a hug. Like, I don't know. It was good, but they definitely, like, I don't know. You made me wait so long, and this was what you came up with?
I know, yeah.
Underwhelming, right?
Uh-huh. How did you come up with that many Cars movies?
That's hysterical. Like, three Cars movies in the meantime, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then, so that's the thing. Incredibles came out pre-Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Pre-The Dark Knight movies. So much has happened in comic superhero books lore. And superheroes, yeah. And all that. And just the way they picked up where they left off, it felt like they didn't even have any commentary on...
anything.
On anything that's happened since then, you know. I don't know. Yeah, it was underwhelming.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're still sitting there. Here. Next.
Here, watch this.
Play. Watch this now.
When you saw, did it come with that little clip of, like, Samuel Jackson and Brad
Bird? We waited 14 like, years, and this shit's awesome!
It's like, I know it's taking 14 years. These things take time. You know, thanks for being patient. Did you get a little video package like
I
that?
I did.
Okay. That was weird, right?
I was confused because, you know, it's I don't like being talked to. I'm like, I'm in the dark, I'm eating candy, just don't talk to me, don't acknowledge me.
Let me watch my movie.
just not, please look at me. But yeah, if you would have told me, if you would have stopped me when I was walking in the theater to see The Incredibles the first time,
yeah.
Hey, you're going to really love this, but you're going to have to wait
14 years for a sequel.
And I'd probably be like, well, why? Can they not come up with something?
Yeah.
No, they came out with Cars. A bunch of them. But you're not even going to really love this second one.
Well, it's because...
I wouldn't walk into the theater.
There was
like,
no,
you know what?
There
I'm not,
no
even gonna
not even going to... Not even going to put in the emotional investment.
Yeah. There was no redneck tow truck in the Incredibles movies.
That's true. If Incredibles 2 had anything for Laird,
they were running off of that redneck comedy explosion, I think. They're like, let's get a redneck tow truck.
Exactly, yeah.
Except for the parents.
The blue-collar comedy tour was a thing still.
It yes, it was.
Jeff Foxworthy doing this thing. Man, I remember reading if you may be a redneck. You might be
a
redneck.
I remember listening to
those books.
I remember listening to the CDs.
Yeah, I had the books and the cassette tapes. Yes, in the mid-90s when I first got popular. Staring at a box of orange juice because it says concentrate. Dude. You might be a redneck. It was all just a bunch of old like Polish jokes.
Pretty much.
Repackaging redneck jokes.
And then we went into what? Puppet comedy?
Yes.
And then since then it's been puppet comedy.
Fucking it.
Hey, Broadway, it's got what's his name? Fader, I think, is on Broadway. Which was the one that was on the reality show, like America's Got Talent or something.
I don't know.
One of them won America's Got Talent, and the prize was... No, not the girl. Well, puppet, one of the puppet dudes. And the prize was you get a show in Vegas. And he's been there since, and they even renamed the theater after him.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
That's how popular he's been since
Holy
then.
Holy crap.
He sells it out consistently.
Good for him.
I don't think it's not the one with the jalapeno on a stick.
So what, you do...
it's the other one.
You do that for a decade, and then you retire, right? Is that the way it works?
You can if you save your money, or you just
his
stay there forever.
His parents have to be in just shock.
Yeah, like we can't believe this little dumb nerd
they
who
used
we did
to yell at him, put the fucking puppets away, and look at him now.
Look at him now. Why don't you get yourself a girlfriend? And he's like, now I get all the hookers over at the Bunny Ranch. You just stay there forever. You know, Britney Spears, she's going to be there forever. Apparently, she's got a banging show. Celine Dion, her show's popular. She's been there forever.
Gwen Stefani's doing a show now
because that's what you do. Carrot Top apparently has the best reviewed show in all
of
Vegas.
Well, he's been out there forever.
He's been there forever, and it's because it's like an amazing show.
Interesting.
Which is, Carrot Top. But so people weird. Fucking love it. Penn and Teller, they've been out there, obviously. So
I love them.
Yeah, if you're our West Coast listeners, hey, go out to Vegas, see some of these shows, hit us up with some reviews, cinemacrespedisoat@gmail.com. We know you're out there. Ron, Jason.
Number one this week, Chris.
Wait, I'm trying to think of other West Coast listeners.
Go. You can do it. Come on.
Some West Coast.
You interact with these people online.
I know,
On a daily, sometimes hourly basis.
But there's only some of them.
There's probably another Chris out there, too.
Yeah, what's up, Chris? Get out there. I know you're listening.
Thanks, Ashley.
Number one this week.
Number one.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
What?
Or, sorry, Jurassic World : Fallen Kingdom.
Aww.
The weekend gross of $150 million. God damn, that piece of shit movie made a lot of money.
Right on the line, 150?
Oh, hang on. I'll get to that in a second. Foreign, 561. That makes perfect sense. No. $150,000,000.
$1,000. They want to say over 100. I would not be surprised if when the actuals come out, it's at 148, 149. Because $150 million is the new $100 million. Okay, so think about this. Follow me on this one.
Very Dr. Evil way to think of it.
No, inflation. Entertainment inflation. This is how this works. So do you guys know offhand what is the first movie to make $100 million opening weekend?
No.
Absolutely not.
No idea whatsoever. We only want to take a guess. I'll give you a hint. It came out after the year. It's a post 2000s.
Okay.
It's recent. Any idea? No? Give you another hint.
It's not The Room.
Superhero. Definitely not The Room. Superhero related.
Spider-Man.
The very first Spider-Man made over $100 million opening weekend back in 2003 or so.
I loved that movie.
It was a fantastic movie, right? Yeah. It was so big. So, but then when that came out, that was when it made $100 million. It's like, this is a huge deal. And now, a movie makes $100 million. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, whatever, sure. Tons of movies make $100 million opening weekend.
The
bar has been raised. So now this year, if this number holds over the actuals, $150 million, it will be the fourth movie to open to over $150 million this year.
Wow.
We're talking Black Panther, Avengers, this, and boom, 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 something. I was like, oh, what is that? What just came out? Incredibles.
Oh, okay.
Just made over 150. So that's four movies already for this summer, and maybe one or two movies towards the end
Seeing
of the year.
Seeing a theme here, these superhero movies.
It's the big properties, the IPs. You know, it's the ones that also get the biggest budgets, the biggest marketing budgets.
So good, because all that merch.
Yes, all the merch. That's really
merch
the
potential.
It's almost the long run. The movies making a lot of money at the box office is more just like a look at our portfolio. For us, to the shareholders, look at how successful we are. But really, in the end of the day, it's all about that merch, ancillary video games, bed sheets.
Have you seen the Toys That Made Us on Netflix?
No, not yet.
You need to.
They focus on 80s toys too.
They do.
Oh my goodness!
They've done G.I. Joe, Transformers, Legos, and it's crazy because you find out like a lot of these toys were made like before the shows.
Yes.
Where like even like the. They even had an idea of where this was going.
It's like in the beginning, they were like, we are going to make this toy and this show specifically to be a commercial for the toy. That worked on me with He-Man. I was all about
the
that
He-Man episode.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I gotta watch that episode. I had the Castle Grayskull, which was no small feat. We were like just above the poverty line family, but my parents were all about making us happy. So I had the Castle Grayskull that like it opened up and it had trapdoors and stuff, and I had my little characters run around there falling through trapdoors and playing all my games.
Yeah, they show what, because the company that made the He-Man toys, they made another toy before that, and that Castle Grayskull was literally just painted.
That's amazing.
It was like another toy they already made, and they're like, fuck it, let's just put some paint
so
on it.
So smart. I love it. That is so smart.
Cutting corners.
So I'm gonna have to watch that series then. Yeah, it's all about the merchandising sometimes with these things. So much in the same way, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. The reason this movie even gets made is so they can sell the Lego sets. They can sell the coloring books, and because even though it's an intense at times PG-13 movie, it's also being sold to the kids.
Oh yeah,
at the exact same
I know
time.
A 3-year-old that screams every time he sees a Jurassic Park anything.
Really?
At the store. One time we were at Wonderworks and he saw the Jurassic Park video game. Screamed bloody murder.
Really?
And of course his parents are nowhere nearby. And everyone looks at me like, I'm the irresponsible adult, this screaming child. I'm like, no.
But then you take this kid to see Fallen Kingdom? Because there's scenes like towards the end where
he would have lost his mind.
He would have the Indoraptor. That's an intense animal.
He would have been crying, hiding under the sea.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Because it's an intense movie.
That was how I reacted when I first rode the ride. I was punching my mom. I think I called her a bitch.
On the water ride over there?
Yeah.
I think the first time I rode that, maybe the first time, I rode it with Drewster over here and our friend Maddie J. And they're like, we don't want to get wet. Or so, no, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And then we get on the ride.
Soaked immediately.
And, no, but I was sitting on the edge and you guys were in the middle.
Yeah.
And we go down the all the water comes up. The water went over me, missed me, splashed these two guys. We get off the ride. They're like, their fronts are all wet.
Yep.
And I was pretty much dry. I was like, hey, I told you we'd be fine. And then I was like, oh, oh, sorry about that. That's why they make these movies, so they can keep people going to these rides at the theme park. It's all connected. So Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. We went and saw it. Well, I went and saw it. You did not.
I saw it.
You saw it separately. What did you think at the end of the day? When you walked out of the theater, what was your feeling?
I was underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed. Boy, that's the least of it.
They got me at the beginning. I was kind of hooked.
The opening scene?
Yeah.
A good scene. They're recovering the tooth or whatever?
Yeah, that little the particle off. Of the... Yeah. I was like, okay, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And then, I think it was once James Cromwell made an appearance. I was like, what the hell is going on?
When they say, oh, the whole time there's been this other character in the background of the Jurassic Park mythos.
Since when?
Yeah, so he's been there in the beginning, we just never mentioned him, but now we're introducing him now for the sake of our story.
And one of my friends reminded me, he was like, well, isn't it made by the same guy that makes Westworld? And I was like,
yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Westworld was the original Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. And they keep doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like Westworld just keeps pulling people out of the past. Like, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
really?
Westworld, they're currently making that up as they go along because there is a book, but there's only... No, there's actually two books.
And a movie.
I don't know if there's a Future World book. Because Crichton wrote Westworld, the book, turned into a movie.
And then they made
a sequel, Future World, just so the park reopens, but one of the parks is like outer space themed. And but I don't think that was based on a book. I think that was just a screenplay that Michael Crichton wrote. And then 15 years later, he writes Jurassic Park, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
Theme park breaks down with people inside.
Evil theme park.
Yeah. And then he did write The Lost World, which then Spielberg made that into a movie, and that movie is a hunk of garbage. It's amazing how, actually, all the Jurassic Park sequels, I mean, I don't really like any of them.
No. No, not at all.
And that's why, like, you kind of go into it not expecting, like, greatness.
Which is then why with that opening scene, like you're talking about, was pretty well done, the suspense of it.
I was like, okay, here we go.
I think someone knows what they're doing. But then, like, the story kicks in, and you're like, I don't know.
You know, it's like, okay, you gave me Chris Pratt to look at. I appreciate that. And, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard.
She's good. I like her.
She's there.
Yep.
I was just kind of grateful they put her in some sensible shoes in this one.
The first shot of her is of her heels. They did open with her heels.
I was like, why does she always have to run in heels?
But then later when
she has to look good while she's in danger.
No, but then
and
later...
apparently she can't do that without heels.
I've seen the drunkest girl.
They take their shoes off.
Yeah.
They do, but you're right. Then they show when she goes to the island later. Then they focus. The first shot of her then is of her feet, and she's wearing like boots. You know,
it's like finally.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a little bit more practical.
They make a kind of a big deal about her footwear two times in this movie. Two times.
Yeah.
Underwhelming, yes, is a great word for it. I felt like the story was surprisingly small.
Yeah.
Considering the implications of it, and but I did like. There are some really great shots.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like some really beautiful dinosaur silhouettes, you know, things like that. I'll go ahead. This is not a spoiler or anything, but there's one scene where, and you see some of it in the trailer. Two of the characters are standing like in front of a long, like circular tube, like a hallway, and it's super dark. They can't see down there. And then lava is dripping through the tube, like incrementally. Mm-hmm. And as the lava drips through, it provides light. And then you see the dinosaur, the silhouette of the dinosaur coming closer each time the lava drips. It's like just a good old school trick of light and shadow, but a cool design. And moments like that. I feel like this movie has like 2 minutes worth of great moments. Great, legitimately great moments.
It felt like it was reaching a lot of the movie, and I'm just like, okay, I'll just sit there and let this happen to me, I guess. I paid my monies, but I don't know.
Well, I use my movie pass. But I paid for a movie pass. I'm paying with my time. I did check my phone about halfway through to see how. So that's always a bad sign.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I knew it was. I saw how long it was going to be.
Which is reasonable. A little over 2 hours.
Is that okay?
I was expecting a little longer, so I was like, that's fine.
But it felt like an eternity sitting there. Yeah. I was like, okay, what time is it? It's only 45 minutes.
Yes. yes, so like I compare it to when I saw Solo, which is about 2 hours and 15 minutes. My butt was hurting by the end of that one. I was like, I'm ready to get up and walk out of this theater. Yeah. It wasn't even like I was disliking the movie so much. It was just, I'm feeling the length of this movie. But then something like Blade Runner 2049, that's 2 hours and like 45 minutes.
It goes by like that.
I went by so quick. I was like, oh my
God.
Yeah, I was in it for the entire time. So it's Roger Ebert was right. No good movie is too long and no bad movie is too short.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like, I was, at the end of this one, I was ready for it to be over. But then I really liked how, the effects.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like there were a lot of animatronics. Mm-hmm. The scene where they're in the small enclosure with the sleeping T-Rex.
Oh,
like,
God.
That was for sure a real giant T-Rex head.
Yeah.
That she climbs on and everything, and the way it's bouncing back and forth, and like, literally, like banging against the walls, you know, like you can't recreate that yet with CG, that kind of weight, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. When she's looking at the mama and the baby dinosaur, she's talking about how she felt the first time she saw them.
The awe of seeing a dinosaur?
I was like, you know what? That's like, sometimes I feel like we are so jaded.
Yes.
By these special effects and these superhero movies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of like a little, hey.
Hey, remember the first time you saw a dinosaur in a movie?
Yeah, remember the first time you saw Jurassic Park?
Yeah, remember the first time you saw something?
Just remember that. And you believed. Kind of go back to that magic. Right. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop being such a Hollywood watching this movie. But yeah, I was still underwhelmed. I wanted more from it.
I think story-wise, it's a letdown. The designs are cool. The animatronic work that's there. I really feel like there's probably animatronics in this movie that I thought were CG, that I wasn't even paying enough attention. I think the effects work is great. The production of it is great. It's just that story needs.
They need it to be tweaked.
And also, now this isn't necessarily, I don't think this is a spoiler, no details here, but the end of the movie, that they leave it open for the next one, for Jurassic World 3 or whatever, the ending, without saying what it is, it sets up the Jurassic Park sequel that I've always wanted to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
For movies and movies now, they're finally saying, we're finally going to give you that movie. So if you want to know what I'm laser talking
raptors,
about...
Laser Raptors, Chris?
Yes, Drew. I was going to say, but yes, they have laser
raptors.
Are
we finally getting laser raptors?
We're finally getting laser raptors.
Freaking lasers.
No, but if you listen to... I did a spoiler review already episode. If you listen to that, you'll find out exactly what I'm talking about there, if you don't mind spoilers. So, underwhelming, would you say people just wait for a DVD, even watch it at all? What do you
say? I would say, you know, if you're cruising through HBO Go
and it's
on
up.
There,
yeah.
Featured, you know, you got 2 hours and 4 minutes to spare. Totally watch it, but
man, if I've got
but don't run out to a theater, dude.
Chris, I'd wait.
If I got 2 hours and 4 minutes to spare, I'm gonna watch Zodiac.
You're going to watch the first 2 hours and 4 minutes of Zodiac? And then watch the last 30 minutes later?
It's fine.
When you get
I've seen that movie so many times, it doesn't matter where I start it.
I used to put that DVD on and just fall asleep to it. I can sleep to this.
I would put it on. Amazing. Just have it on the background, and then, like, I would find myself watching it.
Exactly.
A lot of Jake Gyllenhaal movies now that I think about it. I do that with Donnie Darko.
There you go. Yeah. Classic Donnie Darko. The best Seth Rogen, Patrick Swayze movie ever. I defy you to think of another movie featuring Seth Rogen and Patrick Swayze that's better.
Yeah.
Impossible. Can't be done.
You can't.
I have to agree with Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom is a type of movie where if it's on TV, you know, hey, yeah, sure, put it on. It's like Jurassic Park 3 level of, oh, it's on TBS. Mm. They're commercial breaks. Commercial breaks are good. They allow you to use the bathroom or refill your beverage.
And they
like that.
Edit the movie to make it smaller and shorter.
Yes, often condensed for time and edited for footage, for content.
Have you ever seen Showgirls on TBS?
No, that sounds all the best parts of the movie are gone.
Did they completely cut out the pool scene?
No, they just draw bathing suit tops on them. And
really?
It's the worst drawings ever.
They draw
them
because
they're like bouncing around.
That's
and
amazing.
It's just not moving.
That's hilarious.
You have to pull up Showgirls on demand on TBS now. That's
good.
That's hysterical.
It's so bad. It's good.
Ah, man, yeah. That's... Why'd they even bother? Why even bother?
Why did they even make the movie, Chris? It was so awful.
Oh, for sensationalism, that's why. It's Paul Verhoeven. It's a satire. People always forget. It's satire. RoboCop satire. He did RoboCop, Starship Troopers. We were like, the acting in Starship Troopers is so stiff. It's like he's making satire. It's propaganda.
No, exactly.
And then now, thanks to Space Force, it is satire. It's become
reality. Little Johnny becomes a fascist.
I can't wait.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Little Johnny has become a fascist. Yeah, don't. Would you like to know more? Click here. So Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom, a bit of a bummer. It's on the bummer scale, from a bit of a bummer to a total bummer. I'll put it at on bit of a bummer, because it's like a waste of some great artistry there. Can you pull up the Rotten Tomatoes?
It's right down in the 50%.
What's that average rating?
5.7.
Damn, right down the middle.
That's crazy.
That's very ambivalent. That's what we're giving it. We're saying we're being very ambivalent towards it. What's the consensus?
Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom adds another set piece packed entry to the blockbuster franchise, although genuinely thrilling moments are in increasingly short supply.
Yeah, there's only a few scenes where I'm like, man. There's one scene where a dinosaur is in a lab, and the lab explodes from like a gas buildup, and it knows that shit's about to go down, so it runs. And it jumps out the window, but at the same time the explosion happens, so the blast kind of pushes it as well, and it bangs against a rail. It's like, oh, it's trying to get away, and it was goofy as fuck.
Can you imagine a dinosaur trying to go downstairs?
Oh, I can imagine a dinosaur going upstairs, because it happened in this movie, and it was hysterical.
I was about to say.
Well, actually, normal stairs was fine. A spiral staircase? Ooh. Say goodbye to that spiral staircase. If it's dinosaur versus spiral staircase, take the odds on the spiral staircase there. Yeah. So at least help you get away. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Let's talk about new movies come out on DVD. We have Tyler Perry's Acrimony. This is the one where Tyler Perry
finally.
this is the thriller.
This
right?
is the thriller he yeah. did. This is his thriller where Tyler Perry was in Gone Girl, mm-hmm. right yeah. as a
lawyer.
As a lawyer. His agent said, look, this role's up. You can get it. Do you want it? Just take it. Take the role. He's like, okay, I'll do it. And then he finds out after that, first off, Gone Girl is a very popular book. He had no idea. He's culturally ignorant. He had no idea it was a very popular book. And he had
neither did I.
Oh, that's fair enough. And he had no idea that David Fincher not only was a director, but who David Fincher is as a director. And his overall Fight Club, Seven, Game.
As someone who makes movies himself, you would think he would know who some of his cohorts are.
Tyler Perry never really considered himself a film director. He just directs his own movies.
He still makes movies.
He just makes his own movies because he can't get anyone else to make his stories.
What?
Because
no.
Doesn't he just work for the O Network now and just keeps?
He does have a deal with the O Network. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He does. Yeah. He a couple years ago, he was the highest paid person in Hollywood between his movies and TV
it's
stuff.
That O Factory.
And yeah, just like many people, he had trouble finding people to like make his stuff, so he made it himself, and then it became increasingly popular, and that's why he's hugely successful. Mm-hmm. But he never really considered himself a director. It's a lot like the Broken Lizard people.
Yeah. It's like, who's the director? That guy.
Why him? Why him? Because he owns the camera.
Exactly. Because he's the one who decided to do it.
No, because he's the guy. Because he's the guy who owns the camera. So that's why he's a director. And then he ends up being a director in movies and he gets actual work. Same thing happened to Tyler Perry. So Tyler Perry gets the job on Gone Girl. Then he finds out later who David Fincher is. He's like, oh shit, I would never have said yes to the job if I had known all these things. But now he's on the job. Ben Affleck tells him, hey, this guy is amazing. Pay attention to what he's doing. Tyler Perry's like, okay, I will. And then he said, working with David Fincher, he realized what a director actually does and is expected to do and the decisions that he makes. And he's like, oh, I'm going to start paying more attention to my movies. I want to actually be a director. You know, I don't want to just make movies. I want to be a director. I want to learn and advance and grow in my art form. And then in the interview, he was saying this. He was like, now my next movie, I'm not talking about my next movie because that's a Medea movie. The movie after the Medea movie is the one that I'm talking about. I think he was promoting like Boo 2 at the time.
He needed to get that out of his
system. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Let me do one more.
Gotta catch that check.
Well, no. The Medeas are gonna keep making him money.
Yeah.
Of course.
Acrimony did not make a lot of money. It was also not very well reviewed, which is why I didn't go see it in the theater. Also didn't have MoviePass at the time. If I had MoviePass, I might have gone and seen it. But now it is out this week on the Divid. I'ma watch it. I wanna see what Tyler Perry learned since Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, which I've seen. To Acrimony. I want to see what kind of advances he's made as a filmmaker.
Well, I mean, it's got to be better than Tyler Perry Made a Christmas.
It has to be better than he made a Christmas.
So awful.
That's not a good movie. Saw that too. I've seen more Tyler Perry movies than most. I've seen more Tyler Perry movies than some black people. I've only seen three of them. Gemini comes out on DVD this week. I liked it. I thought it was a really cool little film noir type movie. Very
fun.
Stylish, very fun movie. Zoe Kravitz and that girl, who was her name? Some white girl.
Some white girl.
Some white chick.
Next to Zoe Kravitz. Next that's Zoe basically Kravitz. All you're going to be known that's as. All you need.
Well, the white girl's the lead, so.
Yeah.
But still, good movie. Very cool, sexy, fun film noir thriller set in LA. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Yeah, we got Uncle Drew. Comes out.
Uncle Drew, which
my movie.
I was disappointed when the latest trailer for this one that I saw, it's like, here's the entire movie. Story beat by story beat, even like the last 10 minutes of the movie. Like, not even... I kind of wanted to see it, but now I've seen it. I wanted to see it, but now I have seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now I feel like
Are all the best parts of the movie. And yes. It's like, okay, I'm good.
All right, thanks guys for distilling down to 2.5 minutes. I appreciate it. I'll see it when it's on TBS in 2 years.
Yep.
What else is coming out?
Sicario 2, Soldado.
Soldado. Written by the same guy who wrote Sicario, Taylor Sheridan, who also wrote Hell or High Water, the Chris Pine, Ben Foster movie.
Which is really good.
And he also did Wind River. Have you seen that one yet?
Finally did, yeah.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's all right.
Very sad.
I mean, because we were talking about it.
Because it got buried. It came out at a time of year when no one goes to the movies. Because it's about...
It's about
the murder of indigenous women in America.
Well, and because it happens on Indian reservations, technically they've got...
They have their own police forces.
There's no United States jurisdiction because it's Indian territory. Technically, that's their sovereign land.
Yeah.
But because they're dirt poor and pretty much rely on the government for everything, there's like, they have like three deputies for the entire like tri-state area or whatever.
Yeah, very underfunded.
They can't get anything done.
So in the movie,
they don't have the manpower.
They do get a Fed to come in to help them out, but then so the Feds send them a field agent who's like been on the field for just a couple of months and like she's fresh out of the office, very young. So like, God damn, you see what they send us. But she ends up being very helpful.
Yeah, but luckily Hawkeye's the Fish and Wildlife guy.
Yeah, but Hawkeye is there and he's like he's taking on the Navajo way or whatever. He's the great white savior.
Yep.
All these movies need a white savior.
And I mean, that white guilt.
Dances with wolves.
You have to assuage the white guilt.
Yeah.
The white devil becomes the white angel.
Yeah.
Where will we be without all these wonderful white people?
Probably in a lot better place, Chris.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have podcasting.
That's very true. Because it was some white guy that was like, I got stuff to say.
I need more people to hear it.
And the world needs to hear my thoughts on Star Wars. That's for sure what it's all about.
Yep.
Well, so Sicario. So it's written by the same guy. Not directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Well, he's expanded, Chris. He's gone.
Yeah, Denis Villeneuve gone on to do Arrival and Blade Runner. Now he's working on Dune. He's... proven to be one of our current sci-fi masters, apparently. But his direction was so important on Sicario.
It was.
It made it so intense. And
dude, the opening scene, I almost shot my pants.
Yeah, it's just like, the whole movie's just like, it's a tense, white knuckle of a movie. It takes a break for 5 minutes in the movie for Emily Blunt to...
take a shower.
and maybe eat something. Make out with John Bernthal. Like, oh, finally, it's something really...
And then right back to the shit.
And then right back to... Now he's trying to kill her in the middle of a makeout sesh. Like, oh my God, back to the intensity. What they did, the director of this one, is they went and got this Italian fellow who is making, he's a director of remember the movie Gomorrah,
fucking super violent.
Super violent, super intense movie about the Gomorrah Italian mafia.
Yeah.
Not the one that we know, but the much more intense, the crime era, something like that.
I don't know.
They got a crazy name.
No.
They turned that into a TV show.
Okay.
And the director of that TV show is the guy that got to direct this movie.
I mean, it's the same sort of...
criminal underworld, moral ambiguity, grayness, intensity, violence, stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see if it's any good.
Interesting.
My expectations are kind of tempered, is what I'm trying to say. Is that it? That's what's coming out?
I mean, it's Cable and the Collector, Chris.
It is Cable and the Collector. Yeah, if you... Now we're talking about the Collector. Man, if only he had like crazy white hair, and then he was like...
weird face paint.
You have to come for me in Mexico now.
He's carrying around Tobias Fluke in a big jar on his back.
There you go.
Isn't that weird, Chris?
That's true. Doctor, give
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. The doctor is in with your prescription for life. He's got all the medicine. He's trying to hide it for himself, but we make him share it.
I don't have a prescription for life this time. I've just got some information, Chris.
Oh, here we go. Take it away.
Chris, are you aware? I mean, maybe you are now because we just talked about it. Are you aware that the, God damn it. Why can't I think of it?
Gorilla glue. The
gorilla glue incident of 2018.
Fried my fucking brain. Is the Marvel Universe and the Arrested Development Universe, so how does it, is Arrested Development in the MCU or is the MCU rolled into the Arrested Development Universe? Which one is it? Because they're connected.
They are connected.
Because Tobias Fluke was in Avengers, Infinity War,
and
in the collector's thing.
And the card,
yeah.
And the card that they use, the family card, that's the airline card, yeah, is in Civil War.
Exactly. Yeah. So which one is it? Which one's which? I mean,
doesn't he dress like Fantastic Four? He's
they're in the same
Rock
universe.
Man, because he can.
Technically, they're in the same universe now. So, yes, which one's which?
Who's in whose universe?
Yeah, who's in whose universe?
Wow.
I just have a question. That's it. It's a question now.
Okay, that's a question. Yeah. The question's out there.
Yeah. All right.
Cogburn out. All right, there you go. Just a Cogburn whip. The important question, whose universe are we in? I think we're in Simulated Universe, but which one?
I mean, you're wrong about that.
Is it The Sims? Is it GTA 22?
You're so wrong about that.
Am I, though? Can you prove it?
No, I can't.
Exactly. So...
But can you prove that you're right, Chris?
The absence of evidence is not the... Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with the second half of the show. Drewsick Cogburn... are you ready? I need a drink.
I got another question, Chris. Whatever happened to that Superfly movie?
It came out.
Did it?
Yeah. I saw it on my movie pass as I was scrolling through it.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
That happened to me with the Strangers Pray at Night. I was like, I completely missed that.
Oh, yeah. Out. Yeah, the Strangers movie. Yeah.
I missed that.
Exactly.
Like, what happened?
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
See, what did it come with? Number 22?
Well, it opened at number 6.
Ah, we did the top 5.
And now it's number 8.
Oh, it dropped quick.
Well, it's only made $15 million.
Yeah, that's actually not too bad. I'm sure it was cheap.
$16 million.
Yeah, that's cheap. you know, it's all about that merchandise. The Superfly Lego sets are going to be very popular.
Hair product?
Yes. I mean,
you see the dude's hair in that movie?
His hair is pretty sweet.
It's pretty white.
It's pretty sweet.
For being Superfly, his hair's pretty white.
It's pretty processed. The opposite of Black Panther. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Drew, you ready?
No.
Ashley, good to go?
Let's go.
Yeah. Here we go. Hey guys, it's Chris Crespo hanging out, drinking some Orange Blossom Pilsner. This stuff is delicious. Can't wait to get it in a 16-ounce can. If you guys know where the 16-ounce cans are, let me know. Take a picture of it. Tweet me at I am Chris Crespo or the show at Crespediso. And let everyone know where those 16-ounce cans of OBP can be found, because we want to drink them. In the meantime, get yourself some toasted coconut porter to take to the beach this summer. It is now officially summer. Summer is here. Enjoy your summer with toasted coconut porter. That stuff is delicious. That TCP. And don't forget the back in the day IPA. It's that IPA beer that's good for drinking. You know, it's a drinking IPA beer. It's not going to blow your face off or anything. Instead, it's going to mellow you out and be full of delicious flavor, American 90s style. And don't forget that Orange Blossom Pilsner Squared, that OBP Squared. Be careful with that stuff. Can be dangerous. Definitely drink responsibly there. As well as the flagship OBP. So good. We love these beers. They're all delicious. They're all locally owned beers. How can you say no to that? Support local businesses as they continue to blow up. You know, you can find Volcano Blossom. Was it called? at Volcano Bay. They have an OBP, special OBP over there that you can get on tap. If you're over there this summer, take pictures of that and share them with us online. So there you go, OBP. It's good stuff. We love it. The bees need to work, so continue drinking it and enjoy.
Welcome to the Questo Bay.
And we are back, second half of the show, doing our thing. Juice Cogburn, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419. Some places on the internet.
Only some places. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can find them everywhere. It's not on that dark web.
Nope. Don't know anything about the dark web.
You're not on the dark web?
I don't know
web?
How that works.
You should get on the dark web.
It's fucking... That sounds like it should be like a lot of work. Like coding and stuff.
Yeah, no. No, yeah, dark web. No, you just get a tour account, right? And
See, I don't even understand what, yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's fine.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's good. Just buy some people online. It's all good.
I mean, is that where I buy people?
That's how it happens with us. First time guests are having a great time with Ashley Stashbox, who I know the Instagram account is Stashbox Cosplay.
It is. All one word.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also catch out second rounds Florida and the New York edition on Instagram. We are at 2ND Rounds. We're also a part of the Podcast City Network, podcastcity.net. Check us out there. There's a bunch of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Second Rounds New York Edition is also on there.
Mm-hmm.
The Everett Lee Show, Chris Carnage Show, Super Radio Brothers Show. They've got a bunch of cool stuff on there, and it's cool to be part of the family.
Very nice.
I'm their lady. I'm their first lady.
Are you really?
Yes, for once I have a cool little name.
Yeah. The first lady of the Podcast City.
Yeah.
Need more women in podcasting. I'll tell you that right now. It's a sausage party over here.
It is.
Less fat white dudes with beards, please.
Please. More less fat Puerto Rican
fat
dudes
white
with beards.
Dudes with beards.
More Puerto Ricans.
I could not tell the number of fat white dudes with beards that I've met since podcasting has gone up exponentially, Chris.
Yes, there's a direct line there between.
See, I've been going to MegaCon forever, so many
fat white dudes.
It's all the fat white dudes, bearded
and
not
whites
bearded.
Yeah.
They're such nice guys, though. It's whatever.
Yeah, yeah, sure. They don't have a choice.
You know, it's just a bunch of the comic book shop owners from The Simpsons.
Yes.
That's how I think.
Comic book
they've
guys.
Got
a bunch
two
of comic
options.
Book shop guys.
The
greatest
convention ever.
They got two options. Genuinely nice or creepy nice, which probably means serial killer.
Yeah.
Or just a creepo.
Hey, can I get a picture?
Mm. And then I see the camera just... and I'm,
oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
you didn't take a full body. You could have just zoomed in later.
I'm like, where is my face going to end up, Photoshopped?
Yes.
You want to know that.
So that is now a concern for you. So you've been going to these conventions for a while doing cosplay stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, has it been? I mean, I hear that... I haven't been to a convention, but I know about them. I know that they put up signs that say cosplay isn't consent or
it's
stuff
a
like
huge
that.
Huge thing mm-hmm. now yeah. because there are people out there that assume if you're in a pasties and a G-string and you're holding a machete, some guy can come up and talk to you and try and touch you.
Yeah.
I get it. I never do kind of daring stuff like that just because that's not really my thing. Like, I do Blunt Man and Chronic. That's my sort of vibe. I like hanging out with those kinds of fans at conventions.
Sure, yeah. What was the last one I saw you were doing a mashup? It was
Louise from Bob's Burgers and Negan from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah, I like the mashup cosplay. That's a lot of fun.
I got to meet Norman Reedus in that costume.
That's awesome.
That's a funny picture.
He couldn't stop laughing. And he's laughing in the picture. It looks like he's having a stroke. My friend's dressed as Tina Michonne. She's
carrying
an erotic zombie survival guy.
Yes.
That's hysterical.
With Tina making out with a zombie on the cover. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's a fun costume combo, and it's a funny picture with Norman Reedus. So I'm glad that he enjoyed it, that he got a kick out of
and
it.
And I'm going to be doing it at MegaCon in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I'm going to meet, hopefully, if he does not cancel, he's done it before, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, nice. Yes, Negan himself.
And if I can get a picture with him in that costume, I think.
If you add...
He's a comedian.
Yes.
Comedian.
Add a button. Add a button.
I've wanted
put
to
Watchmen
do...
Put button on there.
Yeah, I've wanted to do a lady comedian so bad.
Be awesome.
Just a cigar.
Okay, my question was going to be, so you would go Vietnam 60s comedian?
100%.
Because there's also the masked comedian, right, with the more elaborate costume that predates that. Mm-hmm.
The Minutemen Watchmen.
Yes, Minutemen Watchmen. And then there's 80s comedian, which is kind of more S&M geared
a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more leathery.
Yeah, a little more leathery. Yeah. But you're going war flamethrower.
I'm thinking of that scene where he drops down in the hippies and he just starts shooting hippies.
Oh yeah, post-nom. Yeah, ooh, where they deploy him on the streets and Night Owl's like, is this what we've become?
Yes.
And he's like, this is what we are. This is what we are. So what are you talking about? That'd be fun. Yeah, wear the same costume but with the Watchmen button on there.
I do have
Jeffrey
a Watchmen
Dean Morgan would, you would really get a kick out of that. Yeah. That's fun. That's super cool. So Stashbox Cosplay on Instagram to follow the journey.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Listen to the show. Let them know you heard them on Cinema Crispy. So I think we hit up the whole... That's it. You complete the trifecta for the Florida edition. Yeah.
You saved the best for last.
That's why we do it over here. That's the way it works. Good times, we appreciate it. Here we go, let's jump in. I am on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo and stuff like that as well.
I mean, who are you?
I know my name's in the show. What do I need to plug?
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show.
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everyone likes it, listen to my shit. The trivia, I do have a show coming up it's a tiny one though. Bikes, Beans, and Bordeaux. I'm covering for Curtis. So that's Monday the 2nd, if you want to squeeze into there. And then the following Tuesday, I'm covering again at Ace Cafe downtown. Plenty of room at Ace Cafe.
Okay.
Ace Cafe is pretty cool. I like it there. The trivia there, it works, I think, pretty well. So come on down. That is Tuesday the, 13th? Tuesday the 13th? July?
You don't even know when it is.
Are you just giggling at t-shirts
over there? I'm giggling at him. No, he's giggling at t-shirts.
Look at t-shirts.
I'm giggling at him.
July, I'm trying to see these t-shirts.
July 10th.
These t-shirts are actually pretty funny.
What t-shirts are you looking at there?
It's a boardwalk t-shirt spelled B-O-R-E-D. It's got stuff like...
Clever.
My favorite one, it's got a nice picture of a bird, and it says, other people are hell.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm. Put a bird on it.
The 10th. Tuesday the 10th July, I'll be at East Cafe. I may also, Drew, have some new, more permanent trivia gig to announce in a week or two.
Very nice.
So we'll see.
Get on it, Chris.
I mean, I'll go ahead and say this one. This is separate from that. I may be taking over Curtis Earth's Rollins College gig, which is, ostensibly it's for the students there because it's hard for people to, like, find parking and no one's going to go to a college to, like, go to that trivia night, you know?
That'd be weird.
So it's, like, for the fucking kids. So just a bunch of 18-year-olds.
You can't even get me
olds.
To go to class.
I know, right? And I've covered for him a couple times there, and they've been two of, like, the most fucked out gigs I've done with, like, just a lack of people playing. And it's a huge room, and the people that are there are all the way off to the side, and I'll have my speaker, and I'm just, like, playing music and trying to do trivia for no one. And but then I talk to other people who have subbed that gig, and they're like, oh, no, I've had 10, 15 teams, and it's a lot of fun. Yes. So for whatever reason, both times...
Why do you got a deal like that?
I don't know. I got did bad both times I did it, so I don't know.
Awful.
I may take over that gig, though.
It might be yours forever,
make it
Chris.
Your bitch.
That's the thing, though. I just think it's like, if that's the way it is, then it's there for the students, and if they choose to use it, then they do, and if not, I still get paid.
Yeah.
I mean,
as long as you don't mind getting paid speaking to an empty room once in a while.
Well, not worse than an empty room, a room of disinterested people who are ignoring me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, it's time for your word.
So basically, like what Jamie Kennedy goes through every time.
I was about to say, or anytime we just do an episode when it's just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
You're sitting there talking, and I'm here vaguely interested.
Vaguely interested.
Giggling at t-shirts.
Yeah,
I do this all the time.
When we have a guest, freeze Drew up to browse the internet. Not the dark web, though, because he's afraid.
I don't know how
he's
it
afraid
works.
Of it. You're afraid of it.
I don't know how it works.
You don't want to buy some people?
I mean, I did.
All right. Well,
go to, like, creepypasta and, like...
Yeah, we can creepypasta it up. We can buy a Slenderman.
That's not the dark web.
That's how it works, though. That's
I'm pretty sure weird. That's, like, the definition of the dark
web. Yeah, we buy a Slenderman.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, we buy Slenderman and Tubbs.
I thought we bought brown people on the internet.
Jerusha Cogburn. Yeah, no.
Tiny ones.
White girls.
Tiny brown people.
Tiny white girls.
Tiny white girls?
I mean...
That's who you buy on the dark web.
Okay.
You buy brown people on the normal web. Cops don't give a shit about that. And with that, Beth with the movies. Beth with the movies.
Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What?
You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Billy D's our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and one of my best friends. And he emails us, and Drew Sikogren reads it. Drew Sikogren, take it away.
What is it, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D?
It's been a wild week up here. I'm gearing up to take pics at the Pride March.
Oh, yeah, he's picturing up the Pride March. What a cool dude. He's a great photographer. Billy D takes snaps. What is it? What are
Billy
his,
D takes pics and Billy D snaps, I believe.
Yeah, Billy D snaps his Instagram. Billy D takes pics his
That's
Facebook.
Adorable.
Yeah, he's one of your best
friends. He's one
friends,
of my best friends.
And you don't even know what the fuck he's doing. It's fantastic.
I have a general idea.
I watched The Road movie last night. It's a feature-length string of Russian dash cam footage.
Oh,
it's something to put on as eye candy at a party, but not so much a quote-unquote movie. Some truly incredible footage, but basically a YouTube comp reel. I'm stoked on a movie coming out called The Endless. It hits VOD Tuesday and is related to an indie horror movie that I loved from a few years ago called Resolution. Resolution is about a guy who chains his buddy to a pipe in a haunted cabin to clean up his meth addiction. It's funny and thrilling and somehow related to this odd sci-fi film about a doomsday cult. Keep your eyeballs peeled for Resolution and The Endless. Stay cool, baby.
Stay cool, baby. We appreciate it, but now it's time for Trustica first of all. Trustica first of all.
Your voice kind of cracked there, Chris. You going through puberty again?
Yeah, I'm going through second puberty. You haven't gone through second puberty yet?
No.
What are you waiting for?
I have not. I don't think it's a real thing.
It's like menopause.
No, it is for girls.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah, it is for girls.
Yeah.
It's like once we turn 30, it's like new.
It's like, For men, it's just your ears continue growing. And your nose, and then you look like Abe Vigoda. It sucks. We will all Abe Vigoda one day soon, but first, it is time for Juicy Cogburn versus the World. Juicy Cogburn, you this year are 16-8. You won last week against Eddie, right? That was last week.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Did you beat Tommy?
I don't remember.
I can go back and check. Let me see. Oh my goodness. Might as well check to see. That was the Avengers episode.
Yep.
Right? So that wasn't too far. Jesse, Steve. I could have checked this ahead of time. Tommy, here we go.
I like the paper sound of
yeah.
that.
I have records.
It's an actual sound.
Yeah.
He's got the board right there. He's just pressing the button every time.
Tommy won.
No, there we go.
Eddie lost.
Okay.
So against the rounds, you're 1-1. This is a rubber match, Ashley. Here we go. So undue pressure now bestowed upon you with this game. This week's game is called Musical Guest. And I'm going to name the musician, the band, who performed. They are actually shown performing in a movie. You have to name the movie.
Okay.
I know what one of the answers is going to be. I just don't know which list is going to be.
Ah,
but I know what one of the answers is going to be already.
Okay, well, this is these are hard.
Yeah, they are.
Great.
I think it's the only one I know.
Can't wait.
This is going to be rough.
So here we go. Drew, since you won last week, you get to choose between Group A and Group B. What do you want?
We're going to go with Group A.
All right, Group A. Name the movie featuring Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper. Probably early 90s, late 80s. I have no idea.
No idea? No? What if I said he had that line about Millie Walkay?
No.
Wayne's World? You don't remember Wayne's World?
That was what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking?
I was it has to be like a rock 80s. And as soon as you said 90s, 80s, I'm like,
Yeah, I thought you were going to figure it out when you said 90s.
I knew the time frame. I just...
All right, here we go. Good luck with these. Number two, Green Day.
Green Day.
Ooh, Ash Adams. What? She made a face like she knows.
What awful 90s teen movie.
Struggles McGee over here. No? Nothing?
No.
You want to take a guess, Ashley?
No.
You think you know it?
It wasn't a 90s movie, was it? It was This Is 40?
No.
Oh, no.
They're actually performing in The Simpsons movie.
You're totally right.
Animated.
You are right.
Wow.
Animated, yeah,
right.
But it's them. Here we go. Number
Game
three.
Changer.
What movie... Make you think. Number three, what movie featured Alice in Chains?
Fucking hell.
Yes, on stage playing as Alice in Chains. I think they're doing the song Wood, I think.
The Crow.
Ooh. Singles.
I missed that scene.
Singles. Yeah, didn't see The Crow? No. No, The Crow, I'll say that for later. I don't want to take it off the board. That'd be wrong. I already did just by mentioning The Crow. They're not one on the Thrill, My Life of the Thrill Kill Cult is seen plain in The Crow, but I didn't include that. Either, so, all right, here we go. Number four.
Wouldn't even remember
that. Yeah, that one was really, I was like, oh, all these are hard, though. They're all hard. Here we go. Number four, Morse Day and the Time.
Motherfucker.
I got no idea.
No?
No.
Ashley, any of you?
Purple Rain?
No. They were introduced as Morse Day and the motherfucking Time. No? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
No. So good.
Jay had a big heart on for him. And finally, number five, Primus.
How did I not know that?
It's a very specified audience, right? Jay and Silent Bob. But, all right, five. Primus. In what movie did Primus play?
Primus.
Yes, Primus.
No idea.
They're in. You have an idea?
South Park?
No, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. They're in the Battle of the Bands at the end. Drusa Cogburn, 0 out of 5. Ashley just got to get one right. Here we go.
That was rough.
What movie featured Smash Mouth?
It's got to be a
90s. Oh, it's for me?
This is for you now.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be a 90s movie.
What movie featured Smash Mouth?
I want to say like Can't Hardly Wait or something like that.
Something like that, probably.
The song may have been used in that movie, but Smash Mouth is actually seen playing that on stage at the end of Rat Race.
What?
Rat Race. Okay. You remember that movie, Rat Race?
I'm going to win. How could I not forget that movie?
All right. Number two, Cannibal Corpse.
This is the one I know. It's the only one I know. I knew this was going to be on this somewhere.
Cannibal Corpse.
I know this one.
They're seeing
only one I know.
In what movie?
They're playing Hammer Smash Face.
Not Priests of Sodom? Like, what's going on? Okay. I honestly, I have no idea.
No idea?
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yes, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
It's the only one I know.
I was so little when I saw that.
maybe you should revisit it.
The only reason I remember that is because... I mean, growing up in Sarasota, Tampa was right there. I saw Cannibal Corpse when I was a kid.
Oh, sure. There you go. Yeah. All right, here we go. Number three. What movie featured a performance by White Zombie?
Stop pounding your fist.
Drew's like thinking so hard now.
I can remember the scene, but I can't remember the movie. I think they're playing More Human Than Human.
I can't remember the song.
I don't have a clue.
Nothing. Ooh, that would be Airheads. The movie Airheads, where Brendan Fraser
is in a rock band. That makes
sense. You ever seen?
No. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a good one.
I know I dress like I've seen that, but I don't. you got the
plaid. 90s are back.
Steve Buscemi?
It's more like John
Steve Buscemi. The band is Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler.
I had a roommate obsessed with that movie.
So weird.
It's a weird, fun little movie. What movie featured Twisted Sister?
I see the scene. Ew. Why can't I think of it? Crap, no. I have no.
They're seen shooting a music video in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
That's why.
And then Pee-wee comes running by
in
his bike.
The bike.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Number five. Digital Underground with Tupac Shakur. When I wrote this down, I was like, ain't no way, no, again, this one. Digital Underground with Tupac Shakur.
Digital Underground with Tupac Shakur. Mm.
Yeah, Tupac. But it's not the Humpty Hump song, though.
He was a dancer in that one.
Tupac, he was one of the backup dancer singer guys. So he's
just back there.
And you're like, that's fucking Tupac Shakur.
Everybody needs
a
break.
I just did a really cool dance.
Yeah, you did. It's not a video podcast, so everyone's really disappointed by it.
Oh, darn. It's got to be, obviously, Before He Died. Unless it's a hologram.
A hologram Tupac or a hologram Digital Underground. Even though they're still alive, it'd be funny if it was hologram Humpty Hump.
That would be
because
hilarious.
We're like, we don't want to pay you Humpty
Hump. I'm going to want to say A House Party.
No, good guess, though. Good
Thank
guess.
You.
Nothing But Trouble, the Chevy Chase, Demi Moore, Dan Aykroyd movie. It's a bad, bad movie. And Digital Underground performs the entire song in it. in a courtroom right. for Dan Aykroyd as a little band judge.
Wow.
So, together, you guys have went over 10.
Yep.
Which means it is time for a tiebreaker.
I knew one of the answers, just I picked the wrong list.
It's just the wrong list. That's why I choose wisely. Here you go. You each get a
I was coming up paper. With more questions in my head, and that was bugging me.
Piece of paper. Here's a pen. Yay. Drew, you got a pen?
Yeah.
Okay, closest to the pin. Here we go. Closest to the pin. Talking about music and movies. You guys remember the Crow soundtrack?
Right? Yes.
Big soundtrack in the 90s?
No, it was.
Of course.
The Billboard Top 200 chart of 1994. How high on the Billboard 200 chart did the Crow soundtrack get? What it was its highest position on the Billboard 200? The Crow soundtrack doing closest to the pin. All right. Trisha Cogburn has his answer locked in.
All right.
Yes, very exciting. I know, I'm sorry. I ripped them very, all right, here we go.
Haphazardly?
Very haphazardly. How high did we get? All right, here we go. How high on the Billboard 200?
How high did we get, Chris?
How high did we get? We're still trying to figure that out. You said number 15.
Uh-huh.
Ashley, you said number 5. The Crow soundtrack reached on the Billboard Top 200 chart number 1. Ashley, you
Holy
are correct.
Shit. It got number 1.
It got number 1, which makes Ashley the winner, knocking Drew down to a record of 16-9 and making the rounds 2-1 collectively against Drew. You and Tommy can lord that over Eddie.
Take that, Eddie.
Take that. You can lord it over him from in time immemorial forever and ever. Amen. Or until we get rematches. Amen. Man, that was exciting in its epic failureness. Good job, guys.
Yeah,
I told you it was gonna be a hard game.
It was rough.
That was a rough game.
Really rough.
Yeah, number 1.
It's crazy.
It's an angsty soundtrack, man. Very dark and
yeah.
Yeah.
Oof, magoof. Okay, here we go. Time for the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi. Vox.
That's right, the Vox Populi is a segment of the people. You see stuff and then you email to us and let us know what you saw or if you have questions or anything you want us to do. And we will do it in this part of the show. Trisha Cogburn, take it away.
We got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
The subject is Zassy Beats. First name is pronounced Zassy. Like sassy. Ooh. So it's not Zazzy Beats, it's Zassy Beats.
Zassy Beats.
Zassy.
Zassy Beats!
There you go. It's got the hard S in the
hard
middle.
Hard S. Zassy yeah. Beats!
Zassy!
I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that.
You just gotta, yeah.
If that's how she pronounces her name, that's up. Zazzy is fun to say.
Yeah.
Zassy. Like
Gal Gadot, right?
Gal Gadot.
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 Right?
Gadot.
It's Gadot.
Gadot.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Hard T. Get it right.
What up, show?
What's up, Gabe?
Watched a random deleted/extended cuts YouTube video for Deadpool 2, still a lazy title.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, the scene when Deadpool is casting for a crew, they wanted to have Chris Evans cameo.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to excite the audience with a Captain America crossover epic, but they were going to take the Human Torch joke. They were going to make a Human Torch joke. Opportunity missed.
Yeah, you guys hear about that? They're trying to get Chris Evans in the Deadpool. That would have been...
It would have been great.
An epic feat of rights and getting people signed off.
Yeah,
Marvel signing off on that while they're making their Avengers movies.
Well,
or something.
No, I mean, they could have gotten Chris Evans in still, and if they would have made the Human Torch joke, it would have been still Fox property.
Right, but you're still dealing with he's uncontracted with Marvel. Does Marvel even want him out there reprising another... Thing, you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Oh, Drew Sakagra, I'm sorry. It's time for the segment that interrupts other segments. This segment doesn't have a home, so it just pops up in the middle of other segments, and it's called Chris Reed's Sexy Poems Through Drew. Ashley, what happens is sometimes we get sexy poetry sent to us.
And Chris stares me in the eyes.
And reads
and he
it.
Never breaks eye contact.
Place to send my poetry now.
Yes. No. Feel free, because here we go. This is how it goes down. Drew, look at me. Here we go. This is from Ron.
This is so weird.
All right, here we go. I do have to look away to read it.
I hate this.
All right, here we go. Ready?
I hate it.
As her hand slides over my clit, the surges of electrical pulse, the eye look at me between my legs. There's more. Hold on. Coming up from air in a gasping fit, Her strap-on exaggeratedly convulse. I anticipate her dominance, so I beg. Hold on. Not done.
Whoa.
Her perky breast on top of body so fit. She enters me and I do not repulse. Fuck me so hard, I foam like a keg. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That was
Thank
really...
Thank you, Ron. We appreciate it. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron. That was a segment that interrupts other segments. Chris reads sexy poetry. Send your sexy poems to Cinema Crespediso at TrueSacognia. I mean, CinemaCrespediso at gmail.com. I was jumping ahead to the next line, which is Juicy Cavern. Take it back to Gabe. Sorry, Gabe. We had to interrupt us somewhere.
I also learned director David Leitch working stunts on Fight Club / Ocean's 11 / The Mexican / Troy / Mr. and Mrs. Smith / etc. Wanted Brad Pitt to be Cable. They couldn't work it out due to scheduling, but spoiler alert, they worked something out.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, I see how that happens.
They were also looking at Michael Shannon and Stephen Lang, which got me thinking... Crespo Dome battle.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Michael Shannon versus Stephen Lang. Wait for it. Versus Josh Brolin. Triple threat match. Go.
Okay, who's the better actor? Michael Shannon, Stephen Lang, Josh Brolin are our options.
Mm-hmm.
You know Michael Shannon off the top of your brain?
I know Michael Shannon from Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, mm-hmm. And obviously Josh Brolin. He's, I would say, the most popular of the three, thanks mm-hmm. to Thanos and Cable.
Yeah. Yep.
The
other guy, no.
Stephen Lang. Now, Stephen Lang is a character actor. If you see him, you're like, oh, that guy.
Okay, he's one of
Avatar, maybe the bad guy from Avatar. Avatar is his most popular movie. But he's also done stuff where he's put on weight or he looks different. So, like, in Tombstone.
What was that movie where he was the old blind man?
He's the old blind man in Don't Breathe.
Oh,
that movie was so fucking twisted.
It's a good movie.
Because he has those, like, white eyes.
Yes, yeah. He's a very creepy dude in that movie. But he's also a fat, drunk cowboy in mm-hmm. Tombstone.
Yeah.
He plays Ike Clanton. He's the reporter in Manhunter, in Michael Mann's Manhunter. So he has, like, a curly perm.
Yep.
And he is, like, a real just slimy jerk-off reporter, like tabloid reporter. He's got great range. And he's the type of dude where he kind of blends into his role sometimes.
Yeah.
I think as he's gotten older, it's harder for him to do that now. He just looks more distinct. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Stephen Lang, Josh Brolin, Michael Shannon. Who is the better actor, Gojer?
Man... I'm going with Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon. Ashley, what do you say?
I was also going to go with Michael Shannon.
Okay. That's two from Michael Shannon. Oh, man. Which is going to make him the winner of the acting round no matter what. Do I think he's a better actor currently than Josh Brolin? Yes. I love Josh Brolin.
I love Josh Brolin, too.
Shannon's a better actor. Stephen Lang, though, he's got that range. He disappears in his roles. Michael Shannon, though, you notice him because he's a 6'4" Kentuckian.
Michael Shannon.
He also just has that look to him.
Yeah, he's very distinct.
Chris.
Like that guy.
Chris, he played Elvis.
He did.
Convincingly.
That was fun.
He looks nothing like the man. I believed he was Elvis.
I did believe him as Elvis. All right, I'll go Michael Shannon. So it's a sweep there. But who would win in a fight? You got tall, lanky Shannon.
Okay, so
you have Kurt and Lang and Brolin are both in their 50s, late 50s. But they're also both buff.
They're old man buff.
They're old man ripped.
Both of them.
Shannon, though, would come to the fight drunk.
And he's got, like, probably a foot on both those guys.
Yes, he's got the reach. those guys are both short. They're both under 6 feet tall. Shannon over 6 feet tall.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
That's true, too. I'm going to split the difference between old man Lang and tall man Shannon and say Josh Brolin's going to win this fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You going with that, Ashley?
Yeah, because you've seen those Facebook videos of those, like, young kids going up to, like, an older guy, and the older guy always just...
Because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because he knows what he's doing. What do you say, Drew?
I'm going Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon. He wants a twofer on the Michael Shannon, no. But it looks like Josh Brolin wins by consensus decree as the winner of this Crespodome battle, three-way battle. All right, hey, that was good stuff. The Crespodome. Crespodome is always fun. Anything else for the email?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. Thanks, Gabe. We appreciate it. That's the Vox Pop Fly. All right, here we go. Movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, the most important segment in all of podcasting. It doesn't get better than this. The Cinema Crespediso movie news segment. Brad Pitt is no longer playing Mr. Nice Guy in the custody argument with what's her name, Angelina Jolie. Oh my God,
what's
it's,
her name?
It's
with,
wild.
With that chick,
he got to he got to spend Father's Day with the kids. That's what matters. But first, we need a Justin Bieber update. Ashley, what's up with the Biebs?
I have no idea what's going on with him.
Yeah, no idea, right?
I have no idea.
He's kind of laying low these days. What's up with that? Yeah, just going to church. Just being a good church boy now.
He's keeping clean.
I think he's trying to.
Not smoking the reefers.
I think he's still smoking.
I'm sure he's smoking hella reefers.
Him and his dad.
Well, because Miley, wasn't that part of Miley's big change? She's like, I stopped smoking weed, guys.
She did an interview where she's like, oh yeah, I'm sober now. I stopped smoking weed 3 weeks ago. It's like, God damn it, Miley Cyrus, just shut the fuck up.
Okay, so here's the thing.
You're still craving it at that point.
Yes, exactly.
When you say
go away for a couple of years.
When you
please.
Say you've gone sober, I'm expecting to hear that you're not drinking anymore or you're not shooting up. Heroin anymore, or you're not putting cocaine up.
At that point, she was 3 weeks off the weed.
Stopping weed. Stopping weed is like, so
she's a silly person. She also gave up on the black culture appropriation with it. She removed her grill.
Just look
and,
at her. She's a silly person. She's like a silly. Cartoon character
she is,
that just
yeah.
came to life.
She is produced by the Disney machine. Just spat her out. Movie news. Here we go. They're making that Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. It's happening.
Phoenix Joker?
Yes. Todd Phillips, the director of the Hangover movies, one of the few directors of comedic films who actually cares about what his movies look like.
Yeah.
Just like at some War Dogs, you know, he's been trying to make comedies like perceived as bigger movies, actual comedic, actual movies, I guess you could say.
How many Joker movies are we trying to get?
Ah, two of them now. Jared Leto's doing one.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
As that Joker.
That's why I said Joaquin Phoenix?
It's looking like this Todd Phillips movie that he's writing and directing and is being produced by Martin Scorsese and now starring Joaquin Phoenix. It's going to be under a DC brand. It's going to be like DC Dark or, you know, for lack of a better term or an announcement.
Is it going to be underneath their DC Black Label?
Something like, you mentioned that. You mentioned they have like a Black Label. Well, We've talked about this on the show before.
It's just starting now.
They could do they're going to do a movie equivalent of that.
Okay, that's cool.
And this Tom Phillips Joker movie is going to be
more adult
that.
Stories.
And it's going to have a budget of around $55 million, which is a small budget for something like this. They're not throwing $150 million at it, which means not expecting a lot of money, which means Tom Phillips is going to be allowed to push the envelope more. It's the same way Deadpool got made.
Do you think it's going to be more of like an origin story?
I think so.
If it's got that low of a budget, I'm thinking they're probably not going to do like big like villain type things. So.
I don't want an origin story. I don't even want Batman to be involved. I want a fucking sick, twisted Joker story.
Yeah. It's possible we could get it. A low budget.
Redemption for the Killing Joke, please.
Right, the Killing Joke animated thing, how they botched that. How do you botch that? I have no idea. The low budget denotes that they're going to allow them to do more than they would expect from a hugely commercial film. So maybe we'll get the twisted, fucked up Joker movie that you want.
Cool.
Featuring Joaquin Phoenix, who I like, but it's going to be weird. Now, here's the thing with Joaquin Phoenix. He's flirted with comic book movies for years. He was in the running for Christopher Nolan's Batman, for Batman Begins. It was him, Jake Gyllenhaal, Christian Bale, Joe Manganiello, and Cillian Murphy. All of those guys could have been Bruce Wayne Batman in Batman Begins. He liked Cillian Murphy so much, he gave him Scarecrow. Imagine Batman with any of those people. It would have been wild. Instead of Christian Bale, it would have been someone else. And
Joe
Manganiello. But at that time, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? This was pre True Blood. I remember reading the article and be like, who is this giant buff dude that no one knows?
But you know,
Joe Manganiello.
It would have worked because he was a no name at the time.
It would have been fine. He's a fine enough actor. He's a huge dude. You know, it would have been fine. Now, ironically, he's Deathstroke now, all these years later. Joaquin Phoenix almost did that, and he was circling Doctor Strange for a minute, but then ended up choosing not to do it, and then they went with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Which worked.
Which ended up working anyway. My point being, Phoenix is open to doing a big movie, a studio movie, or a something based on a comic book, but he still wants the product to be something that's like, it speaks to him.
Yeah.
He's still a very picky person with his movies. That's why he does things like You Were Never Really There.
And Her.
And The Master. You know, he's not seeking out the big movies that are going to be huge hits.
What was that movie he put out where he was trying to be a rapper?
The mockumentary.
Yeah.
Where he blew up his own life for 2 years to make this mockumentary with Casey Affleck. I'm not there or I'm not here or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was MC McScruffy face and he had that huge beard.
I remember the trailer for that. I was like,
what is this?
What am I on right now?
He did that episode of the Late Night with David Letterman where he wouldn't answer any questions and he was like a purposefully tough interview. And David Letterman gave him shit. He was like, what's wrong with you? You know, you're doing this for your fucking project. And then he had to go back on the show later with all fresh faces. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. It was just a project me and my buddy Casey were doing. Oh, shit. And David Letterman was like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
I'm retiring. This is bullshit.
You're not Borat. You can't just do that.
Exactly. He's a weird guy. So the fact that he's like, yes, I will do your Joker movie is like, oh, interesting.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. AMC is offering it. Their own version of MoviePass. So if you live near an AMC, you may be interested in this. It's more expensive than MoviePass.
Of course.
It's about $13 a month, but it includes 3D movies, Dolby Theater, all your upgrades are already included.
$13 a month, that's one movie ticket.
That's one movie ticket. And it's, you can repeat watching movies, and I think it's up to 3 movies a week instead of unlimited, but still it's 12 movies a month. And, like, during the summer, there aren't even 12 movies in the theater that are playing. Because, like, this weekend, Jurassic World took up so many screens. Incredibles still has a ton of screens. There's only, like, 6 movies playing in a theater with 20 screens.
And they're still selling out.
And they're still selling out. So, during the summer, a MoviePass isn't going to work that well. But anyway, AMC is doing their own thing. They're offering their own version. MoviePass put out a tweet. They're like, oh, you're offering something that has a quarter of the theaters. It's more expensive. And blah, blah, blah. It's like good, you know, they're trying to throw shade at them.
Mm-hmm.
The movie admission wars has begun.
So when's Regal going to get on this shit?
Regal, that's the thing. They have sort of a partnership thing going with AMC, but they're not as hard-headed with them. So, but they haven't signed any e-ticketing partnership deals with MoviePass either. So I just need MoviePass to open up their own movie theater. Like Netflix.
That's what they're trying to do.
Them and Netflix should team up and open their own line of movie theaters.
Movieflix.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I'm going down to the Movieflix theater to see...
Sounds a little redundant. Movieflix.
That's kind of the point, but it's okay.
All right, there you go. That's your movie news. Which means now it's time to wrap this thing up with...
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go. Lightning round. I have 10 questions and I need 10 answers and I need you to give them to me as fast as you can. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go. We're going to get inside the mind of the stash box herself. Number one.
Sorry now.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
What is in your fridge right now?
Blueberries and leftover Gator's Dockside.
No. Number two, if you could close one fast food chain, which would you close?
Arby's.
Number three, what TV sitcom family would you like to be a part of?
The family from Family Matters.
Ooh, okay. Number four, Family Matters. That's the Winslows.
Yeah, you know, after Die Hard ends, he goes home to his family, yes. And it's Family Matters.
And it's the Winslows. Number four, Truth or Dare?
Truth.
Number five, would you rather live in a theme park or a zoo?
A theme park.
Number six, rock, paper, or scissors?
Scissors.
Number seven, would you prefer to go to the Olympics or to the World Cup?
World Cup.
Number eight, sushi or tacos?
Tacos.
Number nine, what is your favorite number?
Seven.
And finally, number 10, Labor Day, Arbor Day, President's Day, rank them.
President's Day, Labor Day, Arbor Day.
All right, get Arbor Day out of your stupid trees. Drusa Gogber. No one cares about Arbor Day. We got the swag bag, or we got the light green bag. We got that bluish bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with today for your free swag?
I'm going to go with the blue one.
Blue bag. Let's break that bag open and see what is inside Drusa Gogber.
You may get to go home with a patriotic dancing solar character. Place me in the sun and watch me dance.
Nice. Finally.
America. America. This is you.
We've got a Hot Wheels HW ride on. Oh, looks like there should be a little character in there, but I don't think you get a character. So we got a truck with no character.
It's BYOC.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your own character.
Ooh, we got some play handcuffs for some naughty time afterwards.
Yeah, EIO.
We've got a glow bounce ball. Hit the ground till the ball lights. It lasts for hours.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Bounce those glow balls.
And a couple similar Crespedito stickers.
There you go. Now, Ashley, you can take this box home. You know what's in the box. I mean, you know what's in the bag. You can take it home. Or you take the bag, we put it away, and instead, you take what we have in the box right over here. Ah, that's right. Yes. Got a big old box. You can take what's inside that box, or you can take what's in the bag.
I'm going to go with what's in the bag.
All right, here we go. Take that bag.
Yay.
It is all yours. Well done, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us. That was a lot of fun.
I had so much fun.
I really appreciate it. That was a good time. So I have you back on for sure. Juicy Cobber, thank you. Thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, however you listen to the show. Remember to break up the big banks, be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Read more books. I'm in the middle of reading Dune. It's pretty cool. Remember, fear is the mind killer.
Chris, I have a feeling you're going to be in the middle of reading Dune for a very long time.
No, fear is the mind killer. I will not fear. It is the little death. That's all I got.
A PFT Media production.